how Abraham's life and actions have been a type or a preview of the coming things to come, particularly the sacrifice of Jesus Christ's death. Well, after Christ's death, what happens according to the plan of God's word? The promised coming of the Holy Spirit was to come and to call out a bride, a church, the church, for God's Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we are living in what some scholars call the age of grace, as the Holy Spirit calls out his church. God has opened his arms and invited all men to come to him. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But we know that not all will be saved, despite what some preachers say. For Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it." Well, let's see what happens in the continuing story as we continue the story of Abraham and Isaac and Eliezer and Rebekah as we continue where we left off in Genesis 24. We got to verse 52 last week, and Paul continued to read the remaining of the chapter this morning. And he starts off with, "Gifts are given." When it was decided that Rebekah would become Isaac's wife, Eliezer, Abraham's servant, bows before the Lord and acknowledges his thankfulness and his praise to the faithfulness and to the accomplishment of finding a wife for his master's son, Isaac. And then he showers them with gifts. Abraham was a very wealthy man, and so I think that we can be certain that these gifts reflected that. As we continue to draw the comparison between Abraham and God's plan for the ages, what does the Holy Spirit do as we respond to his invitation to receive the salvation given to us, to become part of the bride of Christ, the church? Well, Scripture tells us that he bestows on us gifts and blessings. And what are some of those gifts and blessings? Well, in reflection to the gifts, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7, "To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of salvation, or the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to other, gifts were of healing by this one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Also in Romans 12, we read, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives in his liberty, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." There are other references in the New Testament that speak of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to those who respond to his invitation of salvation. And each one of these lists contain a different grouping of the list of gifts. But it is clear these gifts are all for the benefit of serving the church and doing God's will. But the Holy Spirit brings other blessings, such as the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, starting at 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So as the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence within us, he brings these fruit of the Spirit. He also provides protection, purpose, security, assurance, peace, and joy. Honestly, we cannot overstate the blessings that God bestows on us as we come to be part of his family. Well, the journey begins in verses 54 and following. Things seem to have happened so fast. A stranger comes into the lives of Rebecca's family. He introduces himself as part of their extended family, servant of Abraham. He gives evidence of God's blessing, testifying of an amazing answer to prayer, and then bestows upon these rich and blessed gifts. And now he wants to depart with their beloved sister and daughter. Yes, there's most certainly evidences of God's will and leading, but can you imagine the family? Let's slow down just a little bit here. Give us some time to get used to this change of, give us a time to say farewell to our beloved sister. And the servant says, no. This is of great importance. Please let us continue with it. Do not detain me. They respond, well, let's talk to Rebecca to hear what she has to say. And then turning to Rebecca, they ask a very simple question. Will you go with this man? And it seems that there is no hesitation, no reconsideration, just as simply, I will go. Do you recall the men Jesus called to be his disciples? How they made the same kind of definite decision? Thinking of James and John, Peter and Andrew, the scripture says in Mark chapter 1, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and the brother of Simon casting a net to the sea. For they were fishermen, and Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and they were also in the boat, mending their nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Also, another example of this is Matthew. In Matthew 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. And life was never the same for any of these men. Well, some people followed him for a while and then fell away. And when they fell away, Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, do you want to go away also? And Peter said very clearly, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the word of eternal life. The Holy Spirit is still calling out a bride for Christ, the church. As Laban asked his sister, will you go? We too have a decision to make. Will you follow him He is the one who died for you, Jesus Christ, who offers you forgiveness and eternal life. And as they prepared, as Eliezer and Rebecca prepared to leave, Rebecca was putting the rest of her life into the hands of Abraham's servant as he led them back to his master. Eliezer would be her guide, her protector, her provider, and sustainer throughout the journey until they arrived at their destination. This is an amazing consideration as we think of, in light of what Jesus said in John chapter 16. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, he told his disciples. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that my Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. As we walk in obedience to God, following his leading, it ought to be almost a carefree, liberating life. Many of you know that a few of us went on a bike trip to Maine, to the East Coast. And if you have watched much riding in, on the roads or TV shows and stuff where there's motorcycle ridings, there's a formation in which they follow. And we were following in this formation. And the lead biker has a lot of responsibility. He's got to keep us on track. He's got to know where we're going. He's got to be perceiving what is happening ahead. The last biker, which is known as the tail gunner, he too has a measure of responsibility, not to the same degree as the front biker. But those who are in the middle, the only responsibility we have is to stay in our lane. It is such an easy way to ride when you're in the middle group. They kept me in the middle pretty much the whole way until the last hour. We were driving along, and Brian was our leader for almost all the time. And Brian did something that he rarely did. He pulled out and passed someone. And seldom did we do that whole trip. And then all of a sudden I had to snap to reality and think, I've got some decisions to make here. Because for me to get by that guy, I had to decide if it was safe and how was I going to get by this fellow? Because I haven't had to make this decision for several days. And we all got by the person and everything was fine. But it just reminded me of how easy it is to be in the middle of the pack and just following along. You know, in many ways, that's the blessings we have of being a child of God. Oh, not quite that mindless, not quite that simple. But the Holy Spirit will lead us and will provide for us and will protect us. And we just need to be faithful at following along and following the path that he leads before us. What a wonderful life we have in the Christian life. And when we get into situations where we don't know what to do, God makes himself available that we just have to ask. Ask for leading. Ask for his intervention. Don't cease to praise the Lord for the position that we find ourselves in his care and in his leading. Well, let's continue here. We see that there is a blessing in verse 60. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. What a blessing bestowed upon Rebekah. And as far as Rebekah is concerned, this blessing has been fulfilled. Israel's become a great and powerful people. As far as the descendants of Isaac and Rebekah are concerned, this prophecy has come true. But as Rebekah is a type for the church, the bride of Christ, this still is coming true today. We might not see it so much in North America or in the European countries, but the church is growing in leaps and bounds in other places of the world. In Indonesia, the number of Christians had grown from 1.3 million 40 years ago to 11 million today. On June the 15th, 2006, 3 million believers prayed it in Brazil in the world's largest march for Jesus. The Jesus film has been translated in nearly 1,000 languages and has seen over 200 million people make decisions for Jesus Christ. Up to 1960, no Christian was allowed to live in Nepal. Now there is a church in every one of its 75 districts in Nepal, with an estimate of over 500,000 believers living there. In Africa, every day there are 20,000 Africans coming to Christ. In 1900, Africa was 3% Christian. Today, it is over 50% Christian. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant church, and the country was deemed impossible to reach. Today, 30% of Koreans are Christian, with 7,000 churches in Seoul alone, and several churches have over 1 million members. There is currently 60 to 80 million Christians in China, with between 10 to 25,000 converts coming to Christ every day. The church is experiencing the blessing of Rebekah. And then we see that the couple connect. As Isaac went out to meditate, he looked up and saw Eliezer with his caravan coming. Let me just make a comment concerning this. This is the first time Isaac is mentioned in the scripture since being up on the mount where he was to be sacrificed. Since then, he has been absent in the pages of scripture. And here he looks up and he sees Eliezer coming with his wife, his bride. And as he makes his way out to meet them, Rebekah requires of Abraham's servant who this man coming might be. "He is my master," Eliezer responds. And Rebekah veils herself as she prepares to meet her groom. Such a tender scene, as the proposed bride and the groom meet for the first time. And Eliezer tells Isaac all of what has happened. And in real storybook fashion, they live happily ever after. As Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Rebekah became the recipient and the partaker of the full blessing of Abraham, as the church comes into full fellowship with God. But in doing so, do not look down upon Israel. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Romans 11, starting at verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in amongst them and become partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they did not continue in their unbelief, would be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who were the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I did not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come, and all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of their fathers. For the gift and the calling of God is irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now will be disobedient that because of the mercy shown to you, so that they now may be shown mercy. God has been very gracious in extending the opportunity for all to come to him. There's going to come a time when his focus is going to turn back to Israel. Israel will come back into the forefront of God's attention. God is not done with Israel. And even here in the life of Abraham, we see Israel comes back into focus. Remember what we saw earlier. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Abraham's wife, Sarah, is a type for Israel. Isaac is a type for God the Son, Jesus Christ. Eliezer is a type for the Holy Spirit, who has gone to a distant country to find a bride for his wife, or his son, Abraham's son. And Rebecca is a type for the church. As Isaac is united with his wife, there is coming a time when Jesus Christ will be united with us as we will meet him in the air. And we see in Genesis 25 that Abraham marries again. And not only does he marry again, but he has six children, six sons. God is not done with Israel. She will once again turn back into the forefront of God's plan. God has a wonderful plan for those who respond to his salvation. His plan for the nations is alluded throughout the Old Testament. but also his plan for further dealing with Israel is alluded to not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, as we just looked at in Romans. Praise God. We as a nation have respected and supported Israel. I try to be very careful to stay away from politics, particularly in the pulpit. But I believe a nation that opposes Israel approaches upon some very dangerous ground. Today, we live in the age of grace. As the Holy Spirit calls out and prepares a bride for Jesus Christ, are you part of that company? If you are not sure, or if you have questions concerning this, please contact us. Pastor Tyler or I would love to spend some time sharing with you how that you can know that you are part of that company, part of that bride of Christ. Please don't think that you're imposing on us. There is nothing, absolutely nothing we would rather do than to share with you the good news as to how you can know that you're a child of God. Or if we're too intimidating, you can talk to any of the elders or deacons, and they would surely love to share with you how you can be absolutely assured. You know, there's a lot of people I've talked to, and I asked them about their future eternity, and they say, I hope so. And, you know, God's word says that we can be absolutely certain. John writes, these things I write so that you know that you have eternal life. What a wonderful assurance that God gives to us. We would love to meet with you and share with you how you can know such things, so you too will be part of that great reunion in the sky. Well, this kind of draws a close to this series that we've been looking at as to how God has revealed his plan for the ages through these few chapters in Abraham. As God has identified Abraham as, and the whole understanding of a type, a foretelling of what was to come. And I hope that it's been an encouragement to you. It's been a blessing for me to be able to share this with you and to dig deeper in there and find the detailed instruction as to what God has revealed to us. God is a wonderful God. He wants us to share and to grow and to understand him and to be blessed by the wonders of his word. You see, Pastor Tyler and I will never run out of information or material to share with you. And you know, I'm near the end of my ministry. Pastor Tyler is just getting at the beginning of it. And there's no way he can exhaust the depths of God's word. And so it always makes us fresh. It always makes it exciting. And we love to share it with you. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you with gratefulness for your word and the lessons that we have in your word and the blessing that we are able to discover in it. Lord God, may we be a people of your book. May we be not just coming to church once a week and to learn about what your word has to say, but learning individually, learning firsthand the blessings of your word. Lord God, if there's any here that does not know you as their own personal Savior, Lord God, we pray that you might encourage them to seek and to ask, that they might find and discover the rich blessings that can be theirs of having you as their Heavenly Father, of knowing that their sins are forgiven. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of gathering together this morning, lifting up our voices in praise and thanksgiving to you, our God. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, who has brought us into fellowship, not only with one another, but with you. Lord God, you are a good God. We celebrate that. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, may we be found faithful in your presence as we make this journey together to that land of promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.